murderers decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
What is up? What is happening? You are tuned into another. I'm lying. What show are we on? Decoding the Crampus. Okay. Welcome to Decoding the Crampus. I'm Nalzi Lee.
And I am Danny.
And this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are in Australia. Because this is a sneak peek for next week because we have a surprise.
Australian, mate.
A very Australian surprise. So you'll have to tune in next week to hear what it is.
Yeah.
So, but this is just to kind of get you hyped up.
For next week. Yes.
We love to give you surprises here.
Yep.
And this is a nice one.
And if you haven't seen the title, it's From Fraud to Murder.
So obviously we're going from fraud to
murder.
Pretty simple to understand. But today we are going to talk about the conning of millions of dollars out of investors, many of which were her own family and friends. Melissa Kadick fabricated one of the most elaborate Ponzi schemes of all time. But when the world came crashing down around her, Melissa suddenly disappeared. An unsightly discovery and several clues suggest her demise. But what really happened to Melissa?
Dun, dun, dun!
Dramatic music, you know, you've got to set the tone for the show. So, we're going to give you some background, then we're going to go into her Ponzi scheme, and then we're going to go into her vanishing, because, yeah, and we've recently done fraud on the show with the Tinder Swindler. If you haven't listened to that show.
Great show.
It was actually a very nice man. I still think he's a pig.
He did anyway. Well for himself.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I just don't like his nose. I've got a thing against noses.
She doesn't like Melissa's nose as well. Just
I literally said that before we started recording. Guys, if you have an ugly nose, don't come be my friend. It's fine. So, who was Melissa Kadick? Well, let's go to east of Australia.
Yes.
She was born on April the 21st, 1971. Oh, her birthday's coming up, actually. Her childhood was comfortable and her family was middle class yet humble. Her father, Ted, worked in insurance and her mother was a practitioner in physiotherapy. The two were members of the Lions Club and did many acts of charitable work. Melissa was a very good child. It said that in the research. I'm just letting you know. But she enrolled in the secretarial and business course at Patrick College in Sydney, and she then acquired her first job as an administrator at NRMA Investment. However, on one Friday evening in 1992, Melissa was out for drinks when she stumbled across an attractive face. And one drink led to another, and next thing Melissa believed, she had fallen in love.
Yes.
And a few months later, he left her. But here's the catch. He left her high and dry, maxing out several of her credit cards and stealing several of the family members' household items.
Like, this guy was just like, I'm going to leave with a lot.
I'm leaving, but I'm, you know, it's what is yours is mine, but what is mine, so I'm taking your stuff now. I'm taking
the
it with
him walking out with the fridge.
The washing machine. You know, all the expensive stuff. I ain't buying my own washing machine.
That is hectic.
This, of course, left Melissa devastated, and she learned a valuable lesson that money and trust, when in the wrong hands, could go terribly, terribly wrong. It is a life lesson to all of us. Melissa eventually joined a boutique investment bank in Sydney, taking the role of office admin in 1998. She was trusted with large sums of money, but she was no better than her ex, because only 6 months later, it was discovered that she had stolen over $2,000 by forging her boss's signature on checks.
So, like, from my perspective,
yes,
she was good until this guy hurt her. And then she was like,
yeah, you know that thing, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm like, now evil.
Yeah.
Rather than getting themselves caught up in prosecution and financial security, they gave the Melissa the option to resign and didn't even demand she pay back the money.
This is the same rubbish that happened last week in the show with Dr. Death.
Exactly.
This is the same nonsense. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to that show.
If you don't give punishment and reprimand, then they're going to do it again.
Proper punishment.
Anyway. Melissa met British-born backpacker named Tony Caddick, and they were married by 2000 in April. Melissa also focused on weight loss and getting fit, and in the process hired a personal trainer. It was this personal trainer who introduced her to one of her other clients, a well-regarded financial advisor, a manager of Wise Financial Services. That's the company's name.
Yeah.
He was looking to train someone new. And of course, Melissa's like, me. You know that annoying kid
yeah.
in the class? It's like, me. I know the answer. This was Melissa. She's like, I want to do this job. And they became good friends. Soon after that, she was hired and put on his team. She did very well at her new job and was a fast learner. By the year 2002, she had earned enough money to place a $750,000 stake into the business. Her success was so positive that she featured on the front page of the Independent Financial Advisor, honored with the title, A Wise Choice, Australia's Best Planning Practice. I mean, that would get you a lot of trust.
Yeah.
I can see why people trusted her with her money, even yeah. though she stole it in the end. In the magazine, she warned people against pyramid and Ponzi schemes and insisted that you do background checks on all your financial advisors to make sure they are accredited and qualified, which is the most ironic thing because she did the exact opposite.
At this point in time, do you think that was her plan? Or was she honestly just looking out for people?
I think no, because she had already stolen that money from... If she had done this before she had stolen the money from the other company, I would have said that she had good intentions.
But that was not a pyramid scheme. That was just theft.
Yeah, but she's already got that mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You get what I'm... Yeah. I think
at this point in time, she was just looking out for people. She's like, yo, guys, it's real outside. Please don't trust people because this man broke my heart.
1 year later, she grew bored of her role and wanted to expand her portfolio into investing properties. However, her employer would not allow this, so she left the business in 2004, taking $750,000 with her. Melissa then suggested that her and Tony move to England, and by 2006, they were living in a beautiful home in Essex. Tony then finally trained to become a solicitor, and they now had a son, but Melissa was unhappy staying at home alone and being a housewife. A few months later, Tony would come to learn that she'd been having an affair with a old friend. He was her private hairdresser from back in Sydney named Antonio Coletti. She would fly him to Europe
on
the family's money and then meet up with him on, air quotes, shopping trips in different cities like France and Rome. Yeah. Living a nice life there.
I went shopping trips in France.
Me too.
Not with Antonio, though.
No. Tony, look, she married Tony, and then she's having an affair with Antonio.
Right?
Tony eventually confronted his wife, but she insisted that he apologize because she blamed him for her actions.
She's narcissistic.
Yep. Tony left his wife and son for a few days to cool down, but when he came back, Melissa was gone with the child, half the home's furniture, and all the money in their joint bank accounts.
She did what her ex did to her.
Exactly. Melissa actually sold all the furniture and clothes and went back to Sydney. She claimed that her husband was the one who had cheated and he was an abuser, and she then moved into her new boyfriend's house, who is Anthony, and she also won custody of the house back in England and sold it for a whopping $1.7 million. So then basically Tony, our friend, was on the street.
Shame. She took everything.
So now we move on to her scheme, because if this is not enough, she did more.
Mm.
So she wasn't afraid to use someone's face for financial gain. So she hatched a plan. She wasn't going to be able to get filthy rich with just one or two people. And what she did was she developed an entire platform from the year 2012 onwards. Melissa began to call her friends and even her own family as a financial advisor. They then were sent a 7-page manifesto from the company that she called Malava Financial Services, and Melissa promised that if they invested their money into the business, she would be able to maximize their earnings. She was neither accredited or qualified as a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Once a client sent money to the company's bank account, she would create fake screenshots of fake trading accounts at the end of every month and then would email them to the investors along with a fake monthly report which would highlight a 30% increase in profits. Every month, because of these astonishing earnings, her investors would either grow in confidence and give her more money or point new clients in her way. Her account turned from thousands to millions, and she began spending the money as she pleased. She'd spent over $48,000 on Chanel, $275,000 on flights abroad, and $229,000 on Dior. And she also spent $25,000 on protein shakes. How many protein shakes are gross?
For me, it's like when you're spending all this money, I know we have SARS here. I don't know what they have in Australia. But where's Australia's SARS to go? Where's your money coming from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because this is rubbish. The fact that she was able to do all of this, for example,
if I do, not even just SARS, my bank, if I do a purchase that is not usual, let's say I spend R1,000 at one place. Immediately I'm getting an SMS, is this you making this transaction? They are so strict here with that kind of stuff. Because the one time someone had actually, I don't know how they'd done it, but they'd like cloned our credit card. And next thing we were getting a phone call from the bank, is this you spending R16,000 on furniture? We were like,
no.
No, that's not us. They luckily stopped the transaction. But I mean,
how is this happening?
Yeah, I don't know. She would make her business appear more exclusive by telling potential clients that her books were full, and when they were disappointed, she'd later call them and tell them that a spot had opened up, but they had to act fast. Melissa not only deceived her way to the top, but was now spending millions of dollars every year on luxurious costs. And over 8 years, she ranked in over $30 million. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's from your family and friends, Nochal.
But not it's also a lot of work. Because she had to send them these fake things and create these fake things.
You're not doing any other job. You have time on your hands.
Yeah. And you have time for trips.
So, now, she vanished. Because cracks in Melissa's scheme started to form in the year 2019 when a tip came in to ASIC, which is kind of like a financial investigation service in Australia.
Yeah.
A second tip came in November and a third tip came in June 2020. And this is when they realized they needed to start investigating her. They discovered that the license she was using belonged to her old friend. And after this, they kept her under careful observation for the next four months, detailing every transaction and movement she made. Eventually, on November 10th, 2020, they froze her assets and seized her passports. And the following day, raided her home. Melissa was her days of outrageous spending were over, and she had the possibility of facing jail time.
Yeah.
So then, to many, it was no surprise that the early hours of the next morning, Melissa suddenly disappeared and was never seen again. 30 hours later, her husband phoned to report his wife missing, and the detective sprang into action to locate her. Because, I mean, this is a criminal.
Yeah.
She's gone. Criminal. Yeah, she's gone now. Her crimes were not minor, and she had conned some very powerful people as well as families and friends, which could have wanted to get revenge. So, did she disappear on her own accord or someone else's? Investigating officers began by searching through phone records, but there were no activity. She also had left her phone and keys at home, and her bank accounts remained untouched. There was also no sightings on surveillance footage around her residential areas. Now, there are a few theories. The one is that she never left and instead decided to lay low somewhere nearby, but then surely they would have found her by now.
Yeah.
Another was that she was kidnapped and someone, like we said, was looking for revenge.
Yeah.
The third was that she jumped off the cliffs near her area. However, many of her friends and family disputed this claim because they never found a body. The search for Melissa went throughout the rest of Australia, and they just had to search Australia because she didn't have passports.
Yeah.
So now, the one thing that could have happened is she could have had a bunch of cash with her, taken the cash, got a fake passport, and left the country.
Yeah.
That could be a scenario because, I mean, there's no way she could have just vanished into the night unless she was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, surely someone would have spotted her, especially as the case became more high profile, it went more onto news and it was broadcasted. People knew her face.
Yeah.
So I'm sure someone would have spotted her.
She got plastic surgery.
There were possible sightings that came out in throughout the country, and it created a lot of noise, like we said, and it would have become more and more difficult to stay hidden.
Mm.
101 days after her disappearance, a single foot washed ashore on February the 21st, 2020. The foot was still inside the shoe, rotten. The shoe matched the size and description of Melissa's running shoes. And
Are you okay?
No, you can say this word.
Oceanographers. There you go.
You see, they tried to gain an understanding, and they said from where the foot was found and where they thought Melissa had been, well, where her residential areas, the current pattern matched. So the foot would have floated in that direction.
Yeah.
However, it did take longer than what they expected it to have taken.
Yeah.
They did DNA testing on the foot and compared it to DNA from her toothbrush, and it matched. So it was Melissa's foot.
Yeah.
But there was still speculation to if she was actually dead, because her family and friends again didn't believe she would take her own life.
Yeah.
But I mean, she'd just lost a lot of money. She'd lost her family and friends, because think about it, they're not going to find out you conned all this money out of them. I mean, you can't imagine what mental state she might have been in.
Yeah.
It was obvious that Melissa's foot had experienced severe decomposition, but many analysts says that it was too little decomposition for having been spent in salty water for 100. And I mean, salt is very corrosive.
Yeah.
So did someone kidnap her, torture her, and maybe then kill her, and the foot get, and she got, why? But why cut the foot off? You get what I'm saying?
I feel like she cut her own foot off.
Yeah, so that is one of the theories. That people believe she cut her own foot off to get the heat off her back so that she could escape. Her husband believes that she was murdered and stated he never knew about her Ponzi scheme. And with no new clues or her assets have now been liquidated to pay off all the money she stole.
Yeah.
And she's officially been stated as deceased. But I also want to know, why did the husband wait 30 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, if my wife did not come, I mean, my husband didn't come home, I mean, from the jog to work, if they didn't come home at the end of the day, I'm phoning them, I'm stressing, where are you? I'm phoning their friends, I'm phoning their workplace. Why wait 30 hours? You're telling me you slept peacefully not knowing where your wife was.
And usually it's
maybe he did know about the scheme and he helped her escape.
I think he did.
But you know what another thing is, right? So we said the theory, maybe she could have really also, there are some really remote places in Australia.
Yeah.
Because there are places that there is no population.
Yeah.
It's very deserted. So that could be an option. My reason is that one of the things that would have been really difficult for her to get out of Australia is because of Australia's COVID protocols. I don't even know if she would have been able to leave at when she disappeared. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you see, November 10th, 2020, that's when she was, that's about the time she disappeared. That you couldn't get in and out of Australia then.
But for me, it's like,
you get what I'm saying?
I've got 30 million. I probably have a private plane.
Okay, that
I
is true.
I probably can fly out of there. I have offshore accounts if I'm as smart as. I mean, they confronted her and then they left her in her house.
Why didn't you arrest her?
You arrest her?
Yeah, I know. Okay, that does make sense. It just, I do think it was a bit of a mission to get out of Australia. But I do, yeah. But then if she got out, how did the foot get back?
She probably sent it back.
Because there's no way she cut the foot off when she originally went missing because of the decomposition. Yeah. So did she lie low for a bit, cut the foot off, and once the heat was a bit down, fly out the country when she was able to maybe collect some money to get out? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know the guy, the husband was also so angry when they like took his car back and he's refusing to give the house back.
His song is so stupid.
It's so, and he writes this song. It's about spaghetti and woman. I was like, what are you singing? It's so dumb. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. I don't think she's dead.
No, I don't think so. She's too smart. She came up with the plan that swindled
and you're
30
telling
million
me,
over 8 years.
You're telling me the day after they come and seize your assets and stuff like that, already someone has planned your
murder.
Do
you understand?
I mean, the news probably wouldn't have hit yet to everyone that she knew.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't know. I definitely think she's alive somewhere out there. Melissa, if you're listening, let us know somehow. We won't tell anyone. But we just want to know.
Don't trust me.
Yes, but that is all for this week. Remember, next week we have a surprise.
Yay.
So make sure to join us. But from now until next time.
No more.
No funerals.
Like what you're listening to? Follow Active FM on all social media platforms. On Facebook, it's / Active FM Online Radio. On Instagram, at Active FM 777. On YouTube, Active FM. And on Twitter, at Active FM.